Okay. Is it working now? Is it on? Okay. Good. Thank you so much. Well, it's a pleasure to be back and be able to be here, and especially as we celebrate the birth of young Levi Daniel Driver. And I was telling Brother Clyde there, we go by Justin and Monica's house every morning. And for a long time, we'd go by and everything's closed up, the doors closed, the blinds pulled, and everything was so quiet. Ever since they brought that baby home, it don't matter what time of the morning you go by, the doors are open and the blinds are up. They're involved in a whole different thing now, you know, than what they've ever been before. And I'm thrilled to death for them. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, and be making some remarks about that. I would make more remarks if I could find my notes. Or less. What do with that? Did I leave it laying down there? I had a paper. Oh, yes. Here it is. Oh. By way of talking about the difference between men and women, I put this suit on this morning and went walking out. And my wife said, "You can't go out like that." I said, "What?" And she said, "You got static cling in your socks and it's making your pants stick to you." Is there a man in here that's ever worried about static cling? I rest my case. There's a whole lot of difference between men and women. And well, these days are different than any days that we've lived through in my lifetime. And I like the banjo and the guitar, whether you play it right-handed or left-handed. I bet you. Wait a minute. Where's the left-handed guitar player? Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Okay. I'm having trouble seeing him this morning. Okay. And have you heard Rhonda Vincent do the song, "I Ain't Been Nowhere"? Have you heard that? "I Ain't Been Nowhere." Have y'all heard that? That's kind of become my anthem now. Everywhere I go, I sing a little verse of "I Ain't Been Nowhere" because that's the anthem of the coronavirus. And it goes like this. Well, my version of it goes like this. I was traveling alone, preaching anywhere I could, when along came a virus and took away my livelihood. Somebody picked it up and spread it worldwide, and now for a while we all have to stay inside. You ask me how I'm doing and if I've washed my hands, and I say, "Listen, bud, I've had about as much as I can stand. I ain't been nowhere, man. I ain't been nowhere, man. Been sitting in my chair, man. Been growing out my hair, man. Sleeping, I've done my share, man. I ain't been nowhere. I'm in the bedroom, bathroom, living room, dining room, attic, basement, just to find an old broom, hallway, driveway, same place as yesterday. Go cook, read a book, jog around the breakfast nook, glass clink, get a drink straight from the kitchen sink. Can't think, eyes blink, man, do my clothes stink. I ain't been nowhere, man. I ain't been nowhere, man. Been sitting in my chair, man. Been growing out my hair, man. Sleeping, I've done my share, man. I ain't been nowhere." Well, in all these days of woe and want, we need to remember that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning with verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. As I said, this has been a strange year. We didn't have an Easter this year. Did y'all have an Easter service? Didn't have an Easter service. I thought that was the strangest thing in the world on Easter Sunday morning that we did not have services. I think it was a mistake. I think we should have had one somewhere in some fashion. We should have done something because it's the most important day in the Christian calendar, and we just let it slip by. You know, if there be no resurrection, you know, the Bible really, if you break it down to its simplest terms, is not hard to understand. What the Apostle Paul is telling us here in the letter to the Corinthians is that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, you are not saved. There's no way you can be saved. You're not on your way to heaven. You're just deluding yourself if you think you're going to make it if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Now, we have become experts on viral diseases. We're out of our normal routines. You know, when I came up to the church this morning, that's the first thing I said. I said, "What's your mask policy?" And they said, "Well, officially, everybody wears a mask. But unofficially, we don't care." Basically, that's what they said. Okay. Restaurants, stores, manufacturing concerns are idle in a lot of parts of the country. Never before have we seen our liberties disappear so quickly. Now, I have a word for you. In 1952, and there are a few of you here that's old enough to remember that, like I do. In 1952, I was diagnosed with polio. Those who remember those terrible times know the stories of the special hospitals for polio patients and the heartbreak of parents who had to deal with a sick child. I spent most of the summer of 1952 in bed. Other than the extreme fatigue, I had few symptoms other than that. Looking back on it, I cannot imagine the anguish that my parents, and especially my mother, must have felt. Polio made people afraid because it was an invisible enemy like the coronavirus. And where the coronavirus mostly concerns old people, polio was a disease of children. But just a year later, in 1953, a man named Dr. Jonas Salk, perfected a vaccine that defeated the enemy. And someday soon, somebody will do the same thing with the coronavirus. And then we can all get a shot and we can forget about it. And we can go back to living our lives. But we've all become experts on viral diseases. We've learned from the experts on TV that is transmitted in three ways: through the eyes, through the nose, through the mouth. Very little of it is ever spread by what you touch or anything else. It comes in through the eyes, through the nose, or through the mouth. I got to thinking about that. And you know, the Bible says that sin impacts our lives in three ways: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There's three ways that sin impacts our lives, just like three ways that virus impacts us physically. Now, we need to remember that regardless of the peculiarities of sin that we come in contact with every day, we may not all show the same symptoms, but we're all sick. We've all contracted the disease. The Bible says we contracted it from our ancestor Adam, who was the first to fall into sin. As in Adam, all die. You may not catch the coronavirus. You may put a mask on. You may stay by yourself. But you're going to die anyway. All of us are going to die. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're already we're already under the curse and the penalty of sin right now. The sin that besets us will kill us. It's not like the virus. The virus might make you sick, but chances are it won't kill you. But sin definitely will. So what are we going to do about it? We've learned a lot about blood immunity just in the last week. Somebody who's had the disease and recovered has immunity. If you take their blood plasma and you inject it into another person, then they too have immunity from the disease. Whoever receives a transfusion, that blood can live. Well, the Bible says that if we receive a transfusion of Jesus' blood, that we shall live. Because you see, Jesus had the disease. He became sin for us on Calvary. And when He overcame it, through His blood, we have immunity. When Jesus was crucified on Calvary and buried in Joseph's tomb, and then burst forth from the bonds of death, He had the disease and He had overcome it. He had the antibodies that would offer resistance to anyone who received one. Anybody that receives a transfusion of His blood can live. If you want to be saved, you have to have a transfusion of Jesus' blood. Only His blood can cure you of the disease of sin. And if Jesus is not alive, if He did not rise from the dead, if there be no resurrection, you're still in your sins. Now see, our problem in the world we live in today is that people have the wrong idea about sin, about what sin is. A lot of people think sin is like if you step in a mud puddle and you get a little mud on your shoe, you know, you can take a cloth and you can wipe it off and nobody would ever know you'd stepped in the mud. But you see, sin's not like a mud puddle. Some people think, well, it's like a swimming pool. If you fall in a swimming pool, you don't have to be much of a swimmer to flounder around and get to the side and get out. You don't need anybody to save you. What about if you're out on Lake Norman? If you fall out of your boat, you know, if you're a pretty good swimmer, you can get to the bank. That wouldn't be any problem for somebody who's a good swimmer. You can save yourself. You don't need a savior. But see, the problem is sin is not like a mud puddle. Sin is not like a swimming pool. Sin is not like a lake. Sin is like an ocean. And if you're on an ocean liner and you're out in the middle of the ocean and you fall overboard, I don't care how good a swimmer you are, you're not going to make it to the bank. If somebody don't throw you a rope or a life preserver, you're going to die because you can't get out of it. And that's the way it is. And we're all in that shape. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. If there be no resurrection, who is going to be your Savior? Who's going to throw you the rope? Who's going to give you the life preserver? Because you're sinking. If there be no resurrection, you're yet in your sins. Crucifixion Day was the strangest day in all of history. The Bible says that the sun went down behind Golgotha at noonday. Earthquakes split the ground and opened graves. The veil of the temple in Jerusalem was rent in two from the top to the bottom. Roman soldiers gambled for Jesus' clothes, and they said, He won't need them anymore. He's dead. Pilate, pacing in his palace, said, I wash my hands of it. And now he's dead. The Sadducees, who rejected the idea of life after death, said, we'll see this troublemaker no more. He's dead. The Pharisees, in gloating gladness, smirked and said, at last, he is dead. Mary, with weeping eyes, moaned in her agony, he's dead. The women from Galilee who watched from afar turned sadly away and said, it's over, he's dead. The disciple whom Jesus loved watched the fire of life fade from Jesus' eyes and gasped in unbelief. He's dead. The hands that had reached to heal grew stiff because he was dead. The feet that were eager to run on an errand of mercy were quiet because he was dead. The tongue that had spoken words such as man had never spoken were stilled because he was dead. The lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon were crushed as thistles because he was dead. The light of the world was extinguished as the sun went down at midday because he was dead. The bright and the morning star set at its zenith because he was dead. The wonderful counselor would advise no more because he was dead. A man named Bartimaeus was blinded by tears because he was dead. A widow's son in the village of Nain seemed to feel the coldness of the coffin as it closed around him again because the one who had stopped his funeral was dead. In Bethany, Lazarus, who was robbed from the grave, couldn't believe the news that he was dead. Joseph and Nicodemus were secret disciples no more. And they claimed the body and they buried it because he was dead. And all was quiet for 3 days. Then came that day when he took into himself his divine power and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the angels proclaimed to the Marys as they came to the tomb early in the morning, he lives. They went running with the news. We've seen him. He lives. Peter didn't believe it till he heard to see for himself and in amazement said, he lives. Thomas rejected the news and said, until I touch him, I won't believe he lives. Multitudes saw him and witnessed to an incredulous world, he lives. John the Revelator saw him in his resurrected glory and proclaimed he lives. And one day, he came to Lincolnton, North Carolina, and he reached out his hand and he touched me. And that's why I know he lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer, And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. That's enough. Father, thank You for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, thank You for this good crowd that has come today. I pray, dear God, that You would bless their week. I pray that as they go out tomorrow, that they can be a voice of hope because You're alive, You live. There is a resurrection, and we are saved if we believe, if we have received that transfusion of blood. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has a decision that they need to make or share, I pray that during these moments of invitation that they would come and do that. For we trust You to do a work in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.